The next lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 8 to 13. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The next lesson is from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 14 to 26. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Diana. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you that you have healing hands, that you offer us that touch so that we might see. Help us, God, to see clearly and hear clearly this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I think this story needs a little bit of physical illustration, so Rob may follow me with the camera, but if he doesn't, that's okay too. So, when I was in university, for those who don't know, I met my husband in high school, and we went to different universities. And so we would try to visit each other as often as we could, but it was often hard. But he was visiting me one day when I was still living in residence, and it was Saturday morning, and we were heading to brunch. And normally the cafeteria directly across from my residence is where I would eat, but on Saturday mornings, you could only go to this one other spot. And so we're walking along, and we're talking, we're having a great time, I'm so happy he's there, and we're walking along, and then he starts to tug me to the side, off the path and onto the lawn. I'm like, what is he doing? Is he just being like silly? So I'm like pulling him back. Like, I'm like, what is going on? This is the right way to go to the residence. We're talking, and he's tugging me a little more insistently. I'm like, what is going on? This is my school. I know how to get to the cafeteria. And then all of a sudden, he stops me. He stops walking, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, look. And straight ahead of us, right where those closed doors are, was a great big tree that had fallen down in the storm the night before and was covering the path. And I was walking directly towards it, not a care in the world, and not a single sense that there was anything in the way. I was so absorbed in the conversation we were having, I was so delighted that he was there, that the tree disappeared for me. I have this ability, and Ian thinks it's hilarious, that if I'm really absorbed in something, everything kind of disappears. If I'm really into a TV show, someone could literally walk across in front of the screen, and I might not notice that they've left the room or entered the room. I just get focused. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that, where you're so consumed by something that everything else kind of seems to fade away. But this is what I think of when I think of the disciples in this boat with Jesus. Because clearly they're a little hungry, and they're fixated on the fact that there's 13 of them and a single loaf of bread. Now, there's a reason why we read Scripture in context, because on its own, maybe you can understand that, right? We had a party here for the twins for their birthday. I had 16 teens here. If all I had to feed them was a loaf of bread, I would probably be concerned. But I'm not Jesus. And we have to remember that just before they get in the boat, Jesus has taken a few loaves of bread and turned it into a feast for more than 4,000 people. 4,000 people. And they gathered 7 basketfuls of leftovers, probably more than they started with. And here the disciples are in this boat, worried about one loaf of bread for 13 of them, when they have Jesus, who they know can multiply bread and turn it into enough and more than enough. And you can almost hear the frustration in Jesus' voice as because he is worried about them. But he's not worried about them being physically hungry. He's worried about what's going to happen to them if they are unduly influenced by the voices of the day, by the religious leaders and by the political leader who he's worried is going to lead them astray. Might feel a little familiar, maybe a little spookily so, if you paid attention to what's going on in the States this week, and even what's going on in our own country as we look for a new prime minister and look towards not one but 2 elections, right? Thinking about what we listen to with political leaders and religious leaders might be topical. And so as Jesus tries to warn them about the messages they hear and who they listen to, all they can think about is bread. Yeast. Oh, yeast is in bread. Jesus must be talking about bread. And then you get this barrage of questions from Jesus. And of course, that's our whole theme, is questions from Jesus. And you might notice, if you like to look at the sermon title, I didn't pick a single one of the questions that Jesus asks the disciples. And there's lots of them, right? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but not see, ears but not hear? Don't you remember? Don't you know who I am? Which is actually the question we're going to talk about next week. But we haven't quite gotten there yet. And then what's different, because normally Jesus explains things plainly to his disciples, he doesn't explain what he meant by be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Instead, they dock their boat, they get out, and Jesus goes back to what he was doing. He heals a man. But this healing is unique in all of the Gospels. It is the only place where Jesus has to heal someone twice in order for them to be fully healed. And I don't think this is an accident. I don't think it's an accident or a lack of faith that causes Jesus to take two tries to heal him. I don't think it's an accident or happenstance that Mark puts these two stories together. Because halfway through the healing, Jesus asks a remarkably similar question to what he was just asking the disciples, but to the man he's healing. Do you see anything? And the man says, I see people, but they're like trees walking around. I can kind of see, like opening our eyes underwater without goggles. I can kind of see, but it's definitely not right. So Jesus heals him again. And then his vision is clear, and he can see. And Jesus sends him on his way. And I don't think when he asks that question, he's just talking to the man that he healed. He pulls him away from the crowd, but I imagine his disciples must have gone with him. Remember that Mark is probably telling the stories as he hears from Peter. And clearly this moment stayed strong in Peter's mind. As he asks the man who he's healing, he probably also looks up at his disciples. Do you see anything? Maybe I say that with a little too much frustration still in my voice. Do you see anything? Let me touch you again. See, I think this story is intended to be an encouragement to the disciples. Maybe a way to soften the frustration that he expressed in the boat. And it's a stark difference, right, from how he's been talking and dealing with the Pharisees. When the Pharisees ask him questions, he has no time anymore because he knows their questions are not sincere. He has no time for them because they don't want to learn. But here's the thing we need to remember. The disciples were just as wrong about Jesus in just as many important ways as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Think about this for a moment. The disciples get it wrong, I would say, I haven't counted, but I would say just as many times and in just as many ways as the Pharisees. The difference between the two is not who knows what's going on and who doesn't. The difference is in how they deal with things when they get it wrong. Because the disciples, they want to get it right. They want to learn from Jesus. They are there at his feet, they are walking by his side, and they really, truly want to understand what God wants, why Jesus is there. And that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world. Because Jesus has all the time in the world for somebody who wants to learn and gets it wrong. All the time. He is always there to touch again, to turn those trees into clear sight. And so I think we have two parts of a single lesson that we are invited to. The first is a warning. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful to the voices that you listen to and consider to be true. Because even if it's just this little murmur in the background, just like yeast in dough, it's insidious. It spreads. Just as in good faith, a little bit can spread a long way, it works in reverse too, that a little bit of bad message can spread. I think we see that in the world right now, where messages that used to be on the fringe are becoming more mainstream as people hear them enough to think they must be acceptable things. Really dangerous, really harmful things are being declared okay again that used to be a problem. And Jesus knows how easy it is, especially when someone's been given influence and power, to think, well, they must know what they're talking about. And Jesus is worried, especially when he goes, that the disciples will be led astray. He's worried we'll be led astray. But the other side of it is the encouragement. It's the promise. As long as we keep coming back, as long as we keep asking Jesus to help us through, he's always ready to heal us again. He's always ready to help us see more clearly. Jesus will never, ever give up on us. Not as individuals, not as a church, no matter what the future holds. As long as we keep coming to him and putting him first, he will never, ever give up. Paul knew it too. He got so frustrated sometimes that he couldn't act the way he wanted, that he couldn't be the person he knew he was supposed to be. And yet he also said this, "Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I knew in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." But we don't have to wait, because what does he say? "And now, right now, not later, but now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." My friends, this is the encouragement we receive. Let us pray. God, we thank you. You are love, as John says. And so you are the greatest. Fill us up with your love and your grace. May we trust in you and hope in you and know that no matter how far we stray, you always have space for us. You pursue us, and we thank you for that. May we listen to good voices. May we come to you when we make mistakes. May we continually be more like you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.